Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello everyone and welcome to the next episode of From Pain to Power. I'm really excited to be here today. I have another guest with me who I'm very excited to have this conversation with because I know it's going to be a very rich conversation and very, very helpful and interesting for anyone who is on a healing journey, who has been on a healing journey for a while, or anyone who's new to this work, developing a relationship with your menstrual cycle, even with your sexuality, with your relationship with pleasure, with your nervous system, trauma, all the things that I talk about on this podcast. So yeah, I'm really excited to offer this conversation. I have Moira Niji with me and I'm going to read out her intro or her bio before we say hi to her. So Moira Niji is a Taoist instructor with a health science degree and the founder of Feminine Sexual Alchemy. She has a postgrad diploma in bereavement and loss and postgrad training in polyvagal theory. She helps women have more energy, improve their cycles, and have better sex through Taoist practices and the latest in neuroscience. And I have been a student of Moira's courses and they're just wonderful. So I'm really excited to have a chat with her today. So hi, Moira.
Hi,
how are you doing?
How are you? So good to see you.
You're so welcome. So we've so much to talk about. And firstly, so I'll just maybe, actually, I'm going to tell a little story about how I came across your work, which I think you'll find interesting. I haven't told you this story before and I was saving it for when I hit record. So, there was sort of two stories. So this was several years, this is maybe back in 2018, 2019, and I was doing a lot of women's circles in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And I had done some media. I'd done an interview with Ireland AM. And then a few months after I'd done my interview about the menstrual cycle on the morning TV show in Ireland, they contacted me and asked me if I would talk, would come on air and talk about yoni eggs. And I kind of was like, oh, I don't know. That's not really my field. You know, I've used them personally, but I don't teach them and I don't sell them. And I couldn't really speak, you know, live on TV about them. And then I reached out to some friends in Dublin and then they referred me on to your work. So that's how I first came across you. And then I think I messaged you on Instagram. You happened to be away, didn't you? You were in Thailand at the time.
That's right. Yeah.
So that was the first time I came across your work. And then I saw you talking about polyvagal theory as well on Facebook and you'd met Dr. Stephen Porges and I was just getting into it as well at the same time. So I was like, oh, that's really cool. You know, we're both reading about this stuff. So there's an alignment, isn't there, in our work and in the things that we're interested in.
Oh, absolutely, Lisa. Yeah, definitely. And I love that as well, that you have that nice wide approach and work a lot with the nervous system as well. I mean, it's so key. It's very important to bring that into the work, you know.
Yeah. So tell us about your background, because I've since taken a course with you and also attended one of your in-person workshops in Dublin, which I really loved. And that was an intro to your course. And in that workshop, you shared a bit about your journey. So I'd love for you to share that with the listeners today about how you got to what you do exactly and how you got there.
Sure. So I am a Taoist instructor. And so Tao, it's usually like spelled T-A-O, but it's often pronounced as Tao. So Tao comes from ancient China, and it is a philosophy. It's a way of being. It literally translates as the way of nature, or the way of not forcing. And it includes many different aspects to it. There's many different branches to Taoism, and the particular branch that I came to study is called Inner Alchemy Taoism. And in this, there's like branches around, you know, your physical health and vitality, like Qigong, Tai Chi, Tao Yin, which is a kind of like a Taoist yoga. And then there's also these emotional balancing practices, these types of energy meditations. There's also practices around martial arts, which is also really fun to do, which I really like as well. There's sexual energy practices. And then there's this whole just energy mastery, like learning how to move energy or chi or life force through your body. And there's other branches like feng shui and, you know, five elements cooking and healing branches as well, like qinei tsang is another branch where you do this abdominal belly massage, organ massage. And so Taoism, how I found Taoism then was, well, number one, I guess I started to explore a lot of different spiritual traditions, mostly through my travels. Like I was in India, I met the Dalai Lama, I stayed in Tibetan Buddhist monasteries, I stayed in yoga ashrams. I even did like a silent retreat with this like kind of Christian community in the south of France, Taizé. So I guess I was really on this kind of spiritual journey as such. And then Taoism kept coming up. So for example, like when I was traveling, I would either meet people who studied the Tao or came across books, or there's a famous I Ching oracle. So when I was in these like very kind of potent or energetically quite powerful places when I was traveling, Taoism just kept popping up and I was feeling really drawn to it. And when I was in New Zealand, I started to dream about the first few lines of the Tao Te Ching. And that's a very famous Taoist book. It's kind of like this, like kind of like the Taoist Bible, let's say. It's a book of 81 verses. And most people think they haven't heard of Taoism, but in fact they have. Because if you've been on Instagram or Facebook, you've seen probably quite a few quotes from the Tao Te Ching, like the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Nature does nothing, yet everything is complete. So yeah, there's a lot of kind of Taoist quotes out there. And so I started to dream about the first few lines of the Tao Te Ching. And then I really was like, oh, I need to look into this and yeah, follow the path, I guess, and find out more and start to study it. So, and I guess what was very interesting to me about this particular branch of Taoism that I study, which is called Inner Alchemy Taoism, is that there's a particular emphasis placed on harnessing sexual energy as a means to improve your health, improve your creativity, your brain power, enhance this positive kind of blissful feeling that you can have in your body and in your mind, and you know, also as a spiritual path. And I think I was really looking for something like that. I mean, I experienced sexual trauma, you know, and I also wasn't really resonating what was being offered by society. Mm. You know, this, it's a very patriarchal view around sex and sexuality. And yeah, I guess I wasn't really resonating with that. I was looking for something that had like had a deeper meaning, something more soulful around sex. And certainly, like I'm sure many of your listeners probably grew up with a certain amount of kind of shame and guilt around sex and sexuality, and it really not being discussed or explored in a healthy way, you know. So I had also done some like Celtic shamanic training. So there is a shamanic element to Taoism as well. So it kind of seemed to really fit the bill for me. And I think what I found when I entered into this, and it is a whole world, it's a whole universe, is that it's such a complete system, you know, that everything that I needed was within that, from the, you know, the physical vitality, working on the emotional balance. There's the self-healing aspect. There was like the sexual energy as being like this, the kind of jewel of the Tao. And then these other, you know, interesting parts to it as well. So I think that was something that really suited me. And I think what I like about that is it all fits together like one kind of puzzle, you know, and, you know, each it's kind of like it can be quite sequential and there's a lot of layering, you know. So, for example, something you do in the Qigong class is actually something you do later when you're doing a more advanced sexual practice, like using the jade egg or yoni egg. And so I love that aspect of it, that it wasn't, that it was such a complete integrative and whole system.
Thanks, Maura, for sharing all that. It sounds
there's so much there, but it's still like the feeling I'm getting as I'm listening to you, it's gentle, you know, and from my experience of working with you as well, it's you can take what you like and leave the rest, one of my favorite quotes and, you know, or slogans. And there's just, it's so rich. There's so much there. You mentioned the way of not forcing. I also have, I guess, my own personal story similar to you, where I was called into another level of my own spirituality, let's just say like 10 years ago, and went on this path and followed the breadcrumb trail, if you will, similar to what happened for you. And at one point I came across, I was introduced to the Taoist, not the Tao, but the sort of the Taoist teachings on this course that I did and this other course that I did. And they were talking about this way of not forcing, and it really resonated for me and made me reflect on, you know, the culture we live in and how a lot of us are living in this way of forcing outcomes, forcing solutions. Even if I think about, you know, our relationship with our menstrual cycle, it's positioned as a problem that we need to get over. Mm-hmm. But really it's like we talk about the inner seasons in this work, it's nature. It's so natural. And so this, I think the second phrase you had alongside that was the way of nature. I'd love if you could sort of talk about that a bit more to us and maybe inspire us to be curious about that in our own lives.
Yeah. So, I mean, Taoists, they really observed the nature around them. So they took a lot of inspiration from nature. And so now we're in like, say, autumn. And so Taoists would have looked at like what's happening with the trees, and they, you know, they let go so effortlessly. And so this is actually, if you want to work and live in a kind of seasonal way, in the Taoist way, is to, this is a great time to kind of let go, you know, to like let go, maybe to declutter, to let go of no longer what serves you. In the previous month, we would have been in the harvest, like the late summer. This was about kind of taking stock, you know, looking at like all of the things that you've achieved this year, let's say. And now we're at a point where we're like, okay, let's let go of what we don't need. And it's also that sense of when we let go, there's space to also take in as well. You know, there's space for inspiration to come in. And this is something that actually, something I've been embracing more and more. And, you know, with a group of women as well, you know, I have a membership and we kind of live in this cyclical seasonal living. So it's like when it comes then, for example, the next season then is more of like the water season when we go into winter. And if you think of water energetically, what it does is it sinks. So, for example, if you even just water your plant, the energy of water will sink. And so this is an opportunity to really rest, you know, to go into deep, deep rest. It's very similar, actually. What I really like is that it's very similar to the Celtic calendar, you know, and they're both ancient calendars, both following the seasons and following nature as well. So it is very, it's very similar in that way. And actually they line up as well, contrary to European, British, you know, UK seasons. They're slightly different to like the Irish, the Celtic. We still obviously follow the Celtic calendar, and that actually lines up with the Taoist calendar as well. So, for example, their like kind of spring holiday would be around the beginning of February as well. You know, so we have Lunar New Year usually in around that time as well. So so the seasons, they and that's because it's an ancient calendar. It's not based on business or economics or, you know, academics or anything like that. It's actually following the seasons and the light and
the energy
happening in the natural world.
And what's lovely about that is, Moira, because I know you have your, you and I both, we both have our own businesses, you know, you can integrate that into your work life, can't you? Or at least you try to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you start to work like that, it makes such a difference. And I'm sure, like, you talk a lot, Lisa, about working with your cycle, you know, when you, and I think particularly when you run your own business. I mean, the beauty is that you do have agency and that you can, you know, tweak your calendar, tweak your schedule. So, you know, it's really important to, you know, to leverage that agency, actually, rather than be a slave to it. You know, I think sometimes people make that mistake as well.
You know? Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I have to remind myself that as well, like in business, because it's like you're trying to make a living as well and you're doing things. And, you know, as you were speaking to that, I was asking myself the question, why do we find it hard to let go? You know, why do we find it hard to follow the flow of nature? You know, I'm sure it's a different reason for everyone, but it's just we're just not used to it, I guess. We're not in our society, we're not raised in that way. We're not encouraged to pause and to rest. That's seen as, you know, if you rest, then the production line stops, right? I think it's kind of coming from the Industrial Revolution, that sort of mindset of our body is equal output, we're an organization.
Yeah, I mean, there's a global phenomenon around that, you know, where people are, working too much, not sleeping enough as well. And actually, it's one of the things I would say is the biggest problem for women in terms of libido is overworking. And I see that a lot, actually, working with women. And, you know, there's no physical vitality there either from overworking. It's very taxing on the kidneys. And that has an impact then on your libido as well. So that's definitely it's definitely very important for women not to overwork.
It
can have a chronic impact on your libido. So
And therefore your energy and your health and everything.
Your energy, your health as well, of course. Also like, you know, that will also impact on your periods as well, you know. I think another thing is that some of it I think is control as well, you know, to just, there's the kind of societal programming of like kind of keep going, work. And then there's also like, you know, just the waiting for something to unfold. The uncertainty, you know, the surprises that might come, you know, there's a certain amount of control that we want over that. You know, if we do this, we know this will happen. But actually, if you just wait and let something unfold, then, you know, see, you know, there's place for magic to come in there. And in many ways, we block that, I think, from controlling too much, from controlling the outcome. So it's a little bit just to like, let nature do its thing.
I love that, Maura. I love that. And it's amazing when that happens, right? And you have experiences in your life where you feel there were magic moments of magic. And then because I know the listeners on here have had moments like that. So you need to start writing them down as evidence for your bank, like literally bank that stuff, because I know myself, I've had experiences like that. And then I forget them. I forget my ability to let go. I go back into controlling mindset, you know, any kind of fear or anxiety or any unexpected thing comes my way. And it's like, you know, one of my mentors says to me like, oh yeah, Lisa, you have to stay connected to the healing process. Otherwise the moss is always going to grow back. You know, if you don't take care of the garden, you'll always have that old training that we're raised in, and this culture of fear is just going to come back. So that helps me to stay connected, you know. But is that something that you feel you see a lot in your clients or even in yourself, like the you know, finding our way back to being okay with uncertainty?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not enough maybe uncertainty in our lives, you know.
And that's a really interesting way of putting it. I love that.
Yeah. Actually, over the weekend I was out at a tango milonga, and somebody was asking me, are you living here on the island? I'm in Mallorca. And I was saying, yeah, I'm living in Palma. And she said, always, like forever? And I was like, well, I don't know, you know, it's like my plans tend to be, maybe for me they're long term, like a 6 month plan. But for someone else, that could be like very, very short term. And it's, I was like, well, who knows? I mean,
I love
how
that.
How can we know with any certainty, you know? So,
yeah, I love that. I'd love to be able to say I could do that, but I love my home base and the security and all that. Yeah.
I used to play with it a lot more. I remember like years ago when I was traveling through Mexico, and this was like pre mobile phones and like kind of Wi-Fi really, but I had like a map of Mexico, and I remember going to the bus station and just kind of asking somebody where is a good place to go, and then they'd like point on the map and I'd be like, okay, I'll just get a bus out of here. So literally rocking up to the bus station not knowing where I was going to go and then hopping on a bus. So
I love that. Yeah. Oh my god, that would create so much. I'd have all these fear-based thoughts. I'd be like, I'm gonna get attacked and all these things, you know. But I love the trust you have in yourself and the trust you have in life. What would you like, would you have any advice? I know we don't really do the advice piece, but I think it's helpful to take practical like examples of for people who are looking to get better at just opening space for that magic to come through in their lives.
I mean, honestly, what's been such a game changer for me has been just this connection and relationship with my inner universe. And that really is in the connection with my organs. Now, this might sound weird initially, and I know the first time I had a student before when I was teaching in person, and I used to teach in Little Bird in the yoga studio in Dublin, and I was teaching this meditation called the inner smile, where you start to smile at your internal organs. And one of my students, she showed up, and it was her first time to a class, actually. She had missed a yoga class earlier in the day, and she just saw this Qigong and meditation class, and I said, okay, I'll give that a whirl. And she said when I started leading them through, like, smiling to the organs, she thought it was like she was on camera, like it was like a joke. And she kind of had one eye open being like, okay, where's the camera? This is like so weird, you know. But it turns out actually she really liked it. And, you know, I think 6-7 years later, she's still with me, which is great. And so I guess, yeah, for me, just having more trust and a more regulated nervous system. Part of that is doing a meditation like the inner smile meditation. And it's going into the like the viscera of the organs. It's a very deeply embodied meditation. And by going into the viscera of the organs and understanding that we have energy that's actually held there. And when this energy is out of balance, we have all sorts of problems that I think everybody experiences, myself included, like feeling fear, feeling lonely, angry, irritable, you know, paranoid, whatever. And so, and then the flip side of that is when the organs are in balance, is that we can feel like in a place of trust, feel very calm, very generous and kind, very loving. And this is, first of all, a relationship with yourself. And that in itself can be challenging for people. It's in many ways probably the most simple meditation in terms of, you know, you smile into your organs. And it's also probably one of the most powerful as well. And I know I've had many women, many of my students say that they find it very difficult to actually smile, to smile. And I know my very first time to do the inner smile, when I tried to smile to my heart, I just was like, I couldn't do it, you know. And I felt so disconnected from my heart. It was, yeah, it was incredible. And I also know I have some students who've as well, you know, one in particular, after the very first time of doing the inner smile into her lungs, she gave up smoking. It had that much of an impact. Yeah. And so it becomes a little bit like a dialogue. So you start to know what's happening in your body. And this idea of feeling emotions in the organs, like it's not that unusual to us. Because we talk about feeling love in the heart. We talk about feeling worried sick. So when you feel, you know, worry or anxiety, you often feel like this nauseous feeling in around the belly area. And so in Taoism, it's exactly the same. And they just went a bit deeper into all of the organs. I think in the West, we kind of place a lot of emphasis on the heart. And the heart is part of a system, you know. So there's kind of 5 main vital organs in Taoism. And the heart is one of them, and it is the team leader because it can really release, or it can really, let's say, send and receive a lot of messages. So the heart is definitely a team leader when it comes to the organs. It's, you know, but it's also very important that we look at all the other organs as well. And this is where you start to develop a relationship with yourself. And you know, our own negative kind of self-talk can be so damaging. Like we can be really hard on ourselves, really common that complaint that people are being really hard on themselves. And, you know, you'd never talk to a friend like that, you know. So as you do this meditation, you start to have this very kind of loving and gentle self-talk. And it's not even like just a cognitive thing. It's actually when you're actually feeling into the tissues of your organs. And honestly, that's where a lot of magic can happen, you know, when you start to change the energy of your organs and bring it into balance, and you become a different person, actually, you know, you become a very balanced person, you know, you connect in with your own true wisdom as well, and really be the person, you know, the kind of best version of yourself as well with that. So,
I love that, Maura. Thank you. That's inspired me now to go and get my printout from that meditation and the audio. I think there were two meditations.
I have a free audio actually on my website if anybody wants to try it out.
That's so right.
We can share that.
It's handy because you can have it on your phone. If you're like, I have that on downloaded on my phone that I'll have to go back to. So no, it's very powerful, and it's all about the somatic self, the body. You know, we aren't just our thoughts or, you know, our work or, you know, this, you know, we're not we are our physical selves. And I remember the first time years and years ago, I remember the first time I did a meditation on a body part. I thought I was similar to the client you were just talking about. I thought I was being cracked. I was in that place where I really was trying everything, you know, because I had a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And I did a womb meditation and I kind of made it up myself. I didn't really know what I was doing. And then, of course, lo and behold, the minute I connected with my womb, I started crying. You know, all this grief came up because I realized in that moment for years I'd had this, quote unquote, it's a problem I have relationship with my menstrual cycle, as opposed to, oh, maybe if I can just tune in and listen as though it were like a young child, like I'm an aunt and I have young nephews and a niece. And if they are upset, I'll go over and console them or I'll listen to them. You know, I'm not going to try and force them to change or scold them or anything. It's just very much like presence, you know. So can we cultivate the similar relationship with our body parts? You know, it's powerful medicine, that is, Maura.
Yeah, it really is, you know. And even take the time out to do that. Take the time out from your day to do that as well. It's I really think that changes a lot once you start to, I mean, it sounds cheesy because it's really like to love yourself. But it's, you know, it's deep into your body to love, even deep into the viscera of your body. You know, it's such a, like you say, it's a real somatic experience. Also spiritual as well, I would say, because, you know, when you go deep inside, you really connect with a very deep part of yourself. So
I love what you said, the universe inside of you, like as though there's like that there is a whole universe in there. That is a mystery in a beautiful way. We don't know what it's connected to. And but to keep that connection to it, I think, is an amazing thing to do. And, you know, you talked about self-love and doing practices like this or other practices that, you know, work for you. It's a choice, isn't it? It's a commitment. There might be days where you're not in the mood or you feel like, oh, I have too many things to do. But there's always a way, isn't there? Even if it's, if you know, even if you just do a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'll put my hand up and say I have some commitment issues. So I tend not to use like the word commitment. I have commitment issues with brown rice because it just takes forever to cook. So I'm like, I just prefer couscous or something quick and put on some toast. So I prefer to use the term dedication, you know, so it's more kind of like a dedication to yourself, you know, it's a bit softer and it kind of comes a little bit more from within, I find, than the word commitment is often like this very heavy external kind of put upon you maybe thing. So
I see what you mean.
Bit of a dedication. But you know the thing is, what I always say is really just to start with like 5 minutes. I think maybe the mistake that a lot of people make is they want to jump into like having like a 1 hour practice and, and really it's just the 5 minutes, the 10 minutes is loads. If you can do 5-10 minutes in a day, that's a win, you know. And then slowly you start to add maybe a couple of extra layers as well. So
As it comes naturally, as you're inspired, as you get that inspiration to do that, right?
Yeah.
It's the same I say to people who are beginning to track their cycle. Like, you don't have to write down every detail, even if you just capture the general feeling or tone of the day. And you're really, what you're doing is one piece at a time, one day at a time, building a relationship with a part of yourself. And like any relationship, it just takes time and gentleness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maura, you mentioned earlier that in your work, you support, let me see now, I have it written down here. Moving on from that piece, that you help women harness sexual energy as a means to improve their health. And it kind of reminded me of something. I was on a poetry course several years ago in a place called Annamkara, which is a really nice writing retreat in West Cork. Mm-hmm. And it was with a poet called Adam, I think his surname is Adam Wyeth. He's an Irish, he's actually an English poet, but he lives in Ireland. And he has a huge interest in the Celtic wheel and mythology and poetry and in literature. And he kind of took us on this journey of exploring, I suppose, another layer to poetry. And one of the things he said on that training was, he said, and it was really funny because like it landed for me and I totally got what he said, but I think it kind of jarred with the group a little bit. But he said, everything is erotic. He said, everything. He said, poetry is erotic. Everything comes from the erotic because everything that exists comes from nothing. And when you access your internal creativity and put pen to paper and write down your thoughts and start to create poetry, that is like a sort of an expression of the erotic. And I loved that he said that. I was like, this is great. Like he gets it. And that's kind of what I'm hearing when you say that you help women harness their sexual energy as a means to improve their health, in that you're helping them access the life force energy, really, isn't it? Which is sexual energy. Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, sexual energy is the most powerful energy that there, you know, that we have. So it has the potential to create a whole other human being. And so it, you know, it's this creative energy. Yeah, it's the erotic energy. It is also, it's like this very potent energy that we have that's both kind of latent, you know, we have like arousal energy. So when I talk about sexual energy, people, I think, automatically think I'm talking about sex.
Yeah.
And so sexual energy, of course, when we have sex, we have this arousal energy, but also we have this latent sexual energy. And that's the energy that's stored in the ovaries. And also it's in the kidneys as well. So the kidneys are very related to our sexual chi. And also just in general in the sexual organs. So, and it's called jing in Taoist terms, or life essence. And so this is, yeah, it's like the most powerful energy that we have. And of course, it's really important that we learn how to harness that energy rather than kind of waste it. And so we are kind of born with like this constitution of jing with a certain amount, like we come in with a bank, and then this energy starts to deplete. And the ways that it depletes is actually when we have our period, we lose jing, okay? And you want to think of it like losing your seed. And so for men, actually, they lose their jing when they ejaculate. When, you know, and then for women, it's more when you have your period. And that's just a normal feature of life, you know, that we're going to deplete and lose energy through our periods. So actually, a big part of the work is to help women to understand that and then to be able to improve your cycle so that you're not losing as much energy and you're not depleting your reserves of vitality, this life essence, as much. And so we have a number of practices that we do to help to improve your cycle so that you're not, you know, a lot of women get like really floored by their cycles. And, you know, Lisa, I know you work a lot with women with endometriosis and, you know, you've spoken about your own experience of that as well. And so it can be so debilitating for women who experience a lot of pain and, you know, just the sheer energy loss that happens in that time. And for some women, that can be quite a long period of time as well. You know, it can be a week, it can be even longer. And so that's a big part of sexual energy practices or sexual alchemy, is to actually work on your cycle. And of course, we're working on periods. I also work a lot with women who are more perimenopause and menopausal as well, to help them with that. And so it's important to understand that, yeah, it's like this. Sexual energy is not just when you're feeling horny or you're, you know, having an orgasm. It's actually also, it's always there. So it's always there. the sexual energy is always there. And so once you start to improve your cycles, and typically what will happen with women is, and I would say within a few weeks, certainly within 1 to 2 cycles, and this is something I really love about Taoism, is how effective it is, how efficient it is. It really quickly can create change. And so within 1 to 2 cycles, women start to experience less PMS. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they experience less PMS, less pain, and typically less blood is lost, and also less kind of this loss of energy too as well. So there's a few different levels that the women will start to experience changes. And that's even women who I've worked with, women with endometriosis, for example. One woman that I worked with, and she had a very heavy periods, you know, to the point where she actually couldn't leave the house. Mm. Her periods were so heavy, like particularly day 1 and 2, she just wouldn't leave the house, you know, due to kind of like a bleeding through. And again, within a few weeks, was able to leave the house, you know, like felt confident and safe enough. The blood loss had reduced quite significantly in that time. Mm. And so this is, you know, this is the thing that I think PMS has become so normalized, and that it's seen as actually being part of having a period, is that you should feel irritable or have a lot of like emotions, or, you know, a lot of women can experience anger and, you know, and having a lot of pain. And, you know, and of course, a lot of women do experience that, and it's not to take away from that. But when your body is in a very balanced place, then, you know, you can have pain-free periods, or at least very minimal amount of pain or disruption to your everyday life. And I think that's the piece that's important as well, as if particularly when it starts to disrupt, you know, your life as well. So yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Maura. It's incredible. And that's from like the exercises, like in the program that you teach, and the different practices from the sexual energy healing practices.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, you know, it's to zoom out a little bit, like, so we start to work on the organ health first, and that creates this just beautiful balance in your body. You know, like, you just can't, you know, you just can't believe actually how emotionally balanced you can feel. It's incredible. You know, I've often heard, even, you know, mums will say to me, their kids are saying, oh, you're not cranky anymore, you stop shouting. And like, I mean, like, really massive things in a family life, you know, to feel. And that's a woman feeling like she's herself, you know, and to not be overwhelmed, because it is really overwhelming, the amount of things we have to do as a woman, you know, whether, you know, you're running your own business, or you have kids, or, you know, just whatever is going on in your life. There's so many stresses out there. There's so many roles that we have to fulfill. Yeah. And so the more that we can create balance within ourselves, then, you know, the better you're going to feel. So I think that's kind of part one. And then the other thing then is kind of starting to work more directly with the sexual energy. One practice that I teach and say every woman should do this once a day is a breast massage practice.
I still do it.
Yeah, great, Lisa. That's so good.
It's great. I mean, yeah,
this really creates so much magic for women. And creates a lot of change in your menstrual cycles when you start to do breast massage, and particularly to do it like as a daily practice. And so that's something that I also will always recommend to women, is to start to do that. And when you start to do breast massage, there's a very clear connection between our breasts and our, you know, reproductive organs, the sexual organs. Even though I think in the West it's still a little bit like not so connected, but like, you know, a lot of women will say before they have their period, and this was the same for me, is that they would often maybe feel tender breasts just before
their
period.
That's really common.
So, so we have a direct connection. We know when women become pregnant, you know, their breasts change, you know, all of this. So there's a very clear connection there between the breasts and the sexual organs, and in particular the uterus. And so when you do breast massage, you're actually having an impact on the uterine tissue. And so that's really important, particularly for women who have painful periods. It's very important to do breast massage, because it will create a change in the tissue. And what happens is you start to bring chi flow and blood flow to the area. And all pain is caused by stagnation, you know, from a Taoist point of view, from a traditional Chinese medicine point of view, all pain comes from stagnation. And so when you're doing something like breast massage, you're creating a qi flow, you're creating blood flow to the area. And for many women, they will experience with a little bit of practice of doing this. And again, the inner smile really helps because you start to develop your body literacy as you do a practice like that. And then when it comes to going deep into like your uterus or your ovaries, you're able to kind of find that connection, you know, because it's this is the most yin part of the female body. So it's, and of course, we've been cut off from it through our really miseducation. So it really helps them when you're doing practices like the inner smile. It's almost like a precursor to help you to be able to connect in then with the sexual organs and, you know, kind of go past all of the shame or the guilt or negative experiences. And of course, you know, many women have experienced sexual trauma as well. So you start to elicit a change then in your cycles through doing like a breast massage practice as well.
It's very powerful. I noticed myself, because I used to be one of those people who got a lot of tenderness before my periods as well in my breasts, and still do sometimes, but it's minimal when I'm doing the breast massage. And it's also kind of nice what I've noticed as well is, because I try and do it every day, which I probably do actually. I do it most days. It's very easy to do because you can do it in the shower, or I kind of do when I'm doing a little bit of movement in the morning. But it just the difference in, I suppose, texture and the firmness of my breasts throughout the month, and how you build a relationship with how that changes. You know, like right after menstruation, they're like so different to before menstruation. So they do change shape and how they feel, but they're not sore, which is fascinating for me.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I was with a friend over the summer, and you know, we were talking, and she knows what I do. And then I was talking to her. I was like, oh, you know, you should really start doing your breast massage again. And, you know, I was kind of like maybe being a little bit vain, but I was kind of saying to her, you know, it's like, I've got like 20-year-old breasts, you know, like I was really like, you know, I feel like my breasts, like they really feel really healthy and they look great. And I could see her kind of eye rolling, like going, like she's like, yeah, you've been massaging your breasts for 15 years, Moira. Like she's kind of like, just follow me off. And then about an hour later, I had a client call and we were talking. She'd just done my feminine sexual alchemy program. And she, you know, towards the end of the call, we were just kind of talking about some of the changes she's experienced. And then she just goes, oh, Moira, I forgot to say, I've got my 20-year-old breast back. And this is a woman who's in her like late 40s. And I was just like, oh, my God. It was just like perfect timing that she'd said that, you know. So then I came back to my friend. I was like, hey, you know, it's not just
it's me. Not
this
just
was
you.
After like, yeah, like maybe 2 months of doing breast massage. And that was really great to hear that as well. So I think, you really start to really love your breasts as well when you do this practice.
You do, don't you? Yeah. And even if you think about it from a physical point of view, we've so many glands and lymph nodes and all that in that area. Like it makes sense. Yeah. And like when you get a massage, no one touches that part. So you're going to have to do it yourself, you know?
Exactly.
So I think it's really important to get that blood flow and the fluids and everything moving around there. So yeah, no, it's a really easy practice to do, and you can do it over your clothes or in the shower. Anyway, Moira, I feel like I could talk to you for ages, but I don't want to take up more of your time. But thank you so much. You've shared so much wisdom, and I feel really inspired to reconnect with the practices and this work. And it's just such a powerful other option for women who are in pain. And I know it's not talked about a lot. I know a lot of people know about acupuncture and maybe reflexology and other practices, but this work that you're doing is still not known about yet so much. So I do highly recommend that you go and check out Moira's website, and I know you're on social media.
Yeah, so it's femininesexualalchemy.com is the website, and on Instagram it's MoiraNeG_.
Great. Thank you so much, Moira. It's been so lovely to chat with you today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Lisa.
Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.